Happy New Year, everybody. It's the first of the year. Happy New Year.
Dude, you crushed that.
Thanks, man. It's also episode 161. This is our first of our two end of the year summary episodes. Episode two, I think I'll drop it next Friday. And that'll be movies and TV series / seasons. Just so you guys know, I don't think I addressed it in our group chat, but the way I tackle like the TV one is like, instead of saying things like The Mandalorian or Ozark or The Office or Breaking Bad, I'll say like the season that dropped this year, or if it was like a mini series that concluded this year, or if it was a series that concluded this year. Like, I'll be transparent, Schitt's Creek concluded in 2020. Like its last season uploaded in 2020, and I also watched it in 2020. So Schitt's Creek as a whole is on my list. I'm trying to think if any other shows conclude this year. I'm sure they did. I don't know. But like miniseries, but like for the most part, like my list is full of seasons, not necessarily the show as a whole.
Right.
But that's okay. But that's a topic for another day. Today we're talking about movies or today we're talking about the top 10 albums and top 10 songs of the year. There's not really anything special about these episodes. They're just the individual. We just wanted to divide them up this year just because between the three of us like to talk. So they'd be pretty damn long if we're tackling all four of those categories in one episode. So
yep.
We thought it was best to divide and conquer. So here we are with the music side. You guys want to do albums or songs first?
I kind of like doing albums first just to get like sort of like our general vibe of the year. That I feel like that allows us to talk a little more music. Then we can get real, real nitty gritty with songs after.
Okay. Bet. Cool. I'm into it. All right. We'll start off with top 10 albums. These work just like our normal top 10s. We'll say our list and then we will continue. And then we'll just go from there. All right. My number 10. I love these episodes so much. I low key, like once it hits like August, I'm like, oh shit, end of the year episode soon. Albums. Number 10, Changes by Justin Bieber. Didn't think that I'd be putting a Bieber album on my list this year. It came out at the very, very beginning of the year. So it was one of those early listens. However, I really enjoyed it. I'm not a huge Bieber fan. I don't jump up and down about him, but I really enjoyed myself listening to the album. I think he's matured a lot in recent years in his music. So I was genuinely pleased with his performance on it. I'll pull it up real quick. I probably should have done that beforehand, but I really like the song that he's got with Lil Dicky. That was one of the ones that first got my attention. Of course, he's got a song with Quavo, because what other pop star doesn't have a song with Quavo? I really like the song that features Travis Scott, because again, who doesn't feature Travis Scott? And I think just overall, he did a pretty good job. He had another good one with Post Malone as well. And I enjoyed my listen through on this album. And shouts to Bieber for winning me over this year. Matt, what you got on your number 10?
My number 10 is also kind of a staple of the pop music landscape. My number 10 is Lady Gaga's Chromatica album.
Wow.
I don't know if I'd call myself a full-on little monster, but I'm definitely a medium-sized monster. she's put out a lot of good stuff, man, and nothing's changed with this Chromatica. It's still like a good evolution of her sort of pop sensibilities. I always feel like Lady Gaga writes music that holds up really well to just listening to, as well as you know, giving it a really, just really thinking about it a lot and like picking it apart. And that's still the same for this one, man. There's just some heaters on this, as well as just her great voice can pretty much get me to get behind anything. So yeah, that alone gets it on my list at number 10. Mitch, what's starting off your list?
Well, I was going to shoot this out. I should have shot this out there earlier, but do you guys have any honorable mentions for albums of the year, or just albums in general for 2020? I mean,
I had a couple, I think, that didn't make the cut.
Like, do we, if you do, do we want to go over those now, or do we want to do those like maybe right before we do number one?
I don't care. What do you think?
I mean, I was going to say, cause I got a few, and that goes for songs as well. But
yeah, we can do them now before we start off the list. Or actually, just because I've already gone, well, let's do them right before we do our number one.
Sure. Okay. Sure.
Okay. At number 10 for me, I have Kid Cudi's Man on the Moon 3. You know, I think we already reviewed this, so you probably have already heard my opinion on the album, but I really enjoyed a lot of these songs, and kind of like the spacey, just drive at night kind of vibe that this album has. And I really enjoyed this album. Obviously, like Tequila Shots was one of the better songs on the album. I also liked Dive and Solo Dolo Part 3. And also the features on this album were really good as well. The Pop Smoke and Skepta on Show Out was another good track. And Phoebe Bridgers, which was a surprise to me, who was featured on this album as well, with Lovin' Me, another one that I saved to my songs that I've really kind of grown to really like from this album. But yeah, that's what I have at number 10. Logan, what do you got at number 9?
Number 9, I have Wanna by Gunna. I don't have anything wild to say about this one. He released a regular album followed by a deluxe version that included almost like another side of the album, and I enjoyed the deluxe more. I liked the variety that the second iteration brought. Some notable songs for me are Gimmick, Argentina, Skybox, Blindfold with Lil Baby, Rockstar Bikers and Chains, and Nasty Girl. So yeah, I really liked it. But nothing absolutely wild, but wild enough to make it up on the top 10 list. Matt, what you got for number 9?
My number 9 is a pop punk band, Seaway. They put out an album this year called Big Vibe. It's just kind of a good classic, you know, Warped Tour sound. I'm sort of a Warped Tour scum in remission right now. But yeah, man, I just can't get enough of their sound. They haven't really changed too much in their, I believe, this is their third studio album, but you know, if the formulas work and don't change, it's just some good energy to it. I think it was released either late summer or early fall, so kind of when I needed a little bit more upbeat vibes going, you know, Big Vibe came along and was able to help me out with that. So yeah, that's my number 9. Mitch, what's yours?
My number 9 is a band that I kind of just recently jumped on board with listening to more of their stuff, and that's Glass Animals' Dreamland album. This album was released back in August. I think I was a little late to it, probably started listening to it around October, I know some of the singles that came off this album, like Heat Waves and Tangerine, were songs that I kind of like jumped on board and started listening to it. And then I listened to the whole album, and there's some pretty good, pretty solid songs on this album. Some interludes and just kind of another very, just like the album Dreamland, very dreamy vibes that I got from listening to it. Another song besides Heat Waves that I've been listening to like on repeat for a while is Your Love, Deja Vu. That's another one that I've been, that and Hot Sugar as well. Just another pretty solid album released by them. I think it's their third studio album as well. But yeah, can't go wrong with some Glass Animals thrown in the mix. Logan, what do you got at, wait, what number are we on? We're on eight now. Eight.
I got for my number eight, Good Intentions by Nav. I like Nav more and more recently over the past couple years. And he also put out, similar to Gunna, a original version, but then he released Good Intentions and then in parentheses, Brown Boy 2 Deluxe Version. And I enjoyed that as well. Some highlights there, Two-Face, Good Intentions, My Business, Turks with Travis Scott. I enjoyed Nav and what he had to offer this year. And just a few more songs than the previous albums that I kept around and kind of still listen to. So that's why it's on eight. But yeah, Matt, what's your number eight?
My number eight, I'll actually go pretty quick on here since I feel like one of you two will have some words about it, and his name is Mitch. My number eight is The Slow Rush by Tame Impala. Ooh. Just a good continuation of what he's got going, just very chill, but still got a good beat to it. I'm, definitely not too familiar with his discography, but hearing Mitch talk about him a few weeks ago, I definitely want to give it a shot. And yeah, man, he slaps. So I'll keep my comments short and pass it to the man himself for his number eight. Mitch, what's up?
For number eight, I have Peach Pit's You and Your Friends album at number eight. And another album that I haven't really listened to as much recently. There's obviously a couple of tracks that I keep in a playlist that I listen to regularly, but I haven't listened to this full album as much as I'd like to, but definitely going to be diving back into this one soon. But some of the notable tracks for me are Black Licorice, Figure Eight, Brian's Movie, and that's Shampoo Bottles is pretty good too. Like there's so many good songs from this album as well. But just another one where I found out about this band a couple years ago. Yeah, it was back in like 2018 when they released their first album. And I really enjoyed that. And just have kind of kept up with them. And their second album is pretty good as well. So, Logan, what do you got at number seven?
This album was released a few weeks ago. We covered it. And it's actually one that I didn't think I was going to have on until I had a chance to go back and look at everything I listened this year. And that's Good News by Megan Thee Stallion. I was a big fan of Megan this year just because I was, for one, addicted to TikTok. And Megan's songs, a lot of them gained popularity through TikTok. And so they were basically beaten into my skull. But then when she listened, I think this might be her debut album. Like, I know she's put out little projects here and there, but I think this is her debut as an artist, really, in the mainstream world. So, yeah, I really enjoyed this album. Few songs are Cry Baby with DaBaby. I also liked Girls in the Hood, which is kind of play on Boys in the Hood. It uses the same beat as the classic by Eazy-E and Ice Cube. Don't Stop with Young Thug, Savage, of course. That was a big one this year. Go Crazy with Big Sean. I really enjoyed it. So that's my number, whatever the hell it is, seven.
Yep.
did I say nine earlier? I might have said nine. I'm done. Go ahead, Matt. What's your seven?
Cool. I just didn't want to cut you off. My number seven was the last evidence that I am recovering Warped Tour scum. It is the album Can't Complain by the ska band. Yes, ska. Kill Lincoln. I don't know, man. This is my buddy who's deep in the game sent it to me. It was actually released August 7th, so sort of in the later half of the year. It was my workout album for a time. I would just put this on and I was just like, I don't know, I just want to get out there and throw my kettlebell around. So it did the job, man. If you want to see the modern state of ska, to see that it hasn't changed since 1985, go for it. This is a good place to hop in. Can't Complain by Kill Lincoln. Mitch, what's your number seven?
Well, my number seven is a little known artist that I didn't get to talk about on previous podcasts because I was not there. But my number seven, and I struggled to not rank this higher, but I have Anniversary by Bryson Tiller at number seven. This album I thought was really well done for kind of like his follow-up to Trap Soul, because I know this is the album that he would have wanted to make as opposed to True to Self, which was his second album. And I was thinking like, okay, Trap Soul just got a deluxe re-release for 2020. Do I want to put Trap Soul on there? Probably not, because I was kind of like a stan back in 2015 and 2014, like late 2014, early 2015, when he like was releasing music. But I had a lot of stuff to say about Bryson Tiller on that episode. I'm sorry I couldn't make it, but got to cover a little bit here with Anniversary. Some good tracks on this album. Obviously, Out of Time featuring Drake was pretty cool to hear. One of the singles, Inhale, and probably one of my favorite songs, Sorrows, on this album is my favorite track. But just a solid album from Bryson Tiller, kind of like very reminiscent to what he was doing back in 2015 when he released Trap Soul. So, I really enjoyed this album. Unfortunately, I couldn't rank it higher because the other albums featured that I'm going to be talking about later are more heavily listened to music, in my opinion. So, Logan, what do you got at number six?
Thanks, Mitch, for asking, man. I had an album that I'd been looking forward to for a long time, and that is it's an album called Featuring Ty Dolla $ign by Ty Dolla $ign. The album, I'm a huge, huge Ty Dolla $ign fan. I think a lot of people know that. Saw him live way back in the day before he was famous. I hate to be one of those guys. I also got to see Imagine Dragons before they were really, really super famous. Thanks, Mitch. I really enjoyed a lot of the songs on here. The one track six with Kanye West and Anderson .Paak, song feature with Quavo. Of course, again, another Quavo feature. Who is this man? Time Will Tell, the song with Gunna, Return, Kid Cudi song was really good too. I just really enjoyed it. Spicy is probably my favorite one with Post Malone. But yeah, I really enjoyed Ty Dolla $ign's return to making his own damn album instead of being on everybody else's. But yeah, that's my number six. Matt, what's the final album in your bottom half?
Rounding out my bottom half, I have the album Placement by Watsky. He is a, I don't know, kind of like experimental-ish rapper, released this album back in early March. I've been kind of iffy on him for a little while. I think the last project of his I listened to in depth was Times Infinity. And it just didn't quite hold my attention like the album before that did. But this one was a good, I don't know, it was like different than I was expecting it to be. It's definitely weird. It's definitely not for everybody, but I definitely connected with this one more than I have in a little while with his stuff. So yeah, it's definitely some weird rap. He can, you know, spit bars crazy fast. He used to make viral videos of him just going crazy quick. So I would definitely check it out, but don't be too hasty in just turning it off because it's too weird, because there's some good stuff there. But yeah, that's my bottom half round out. Placement by Watsky. Mitch, what's ending your bottom five?
Well, I have The Neighborhood's new album, Chip Chrome and the Monotones. This album I've been listening to like on repeat as of late. The deluxe released in December. I'm trying to find when it actually released. I can't remember. I think it was late. Yeah, it was September is when the regular album released. Another solid group that I've been following for a long time now. Haven't listened to like their past couple. I think their last album I want to say I listened to their first album in 2013. Wiped Out was in 2015. I basically have like, with how music is nowadays, like picked and choose what tracks to listen to, I guess. But with this album in particular, I've listened to it all the way through like several plus times now. And some of the tracks that I really like, a song that may come up later is Devil's Advocate. Really love this track. Could go, it might do a deep dive later, I don't know. Cherry Flavored, Boohoo, and Tobacco Sunburst are just some of the tracks that I thought were really good. But there's also Lost in Translation, which is another one that's got some really good features on it that or samples that I thought were really cool. But yeah, I just really love this album and how well it was produced. And that's why it's at my number six. Logan, what do you got at number five? Top five.
Top five. The first entry in my top five is Eternal Atake by Lil Uzi Vert. He dropped, again, kind of similar to my previous rap iterations. It released an original, and then he dropped the deluxe, which incorporated more songs that I really enjoyed. I really enjoyed Uzi's return to dropping his own shit again instead of being on everybody else's. Some highlighted songs for me were Myron, Lotus, Yes Sirski, What's Up, Leaders with Nav, and then just Low Main, Homecoming, Bust Me, P2, and That Way. I really enjoyed the album. I really enjoyed the double album deluxe that he gave us. So yeah, I really enjoyed Uzi's album. That's all I gotta say about it. There's a lot of songs I still listen to. In the album when it dropped and released over the last couple months, I listened to it a few more times and just loved every second. So That's my number five. Matt's Matt, what's your number five?
My number five is going back to my female pop singer roots started by Lady Gaga with Dua Lipa's Future Nostalgia, kind of like a disco-y sound, just super tight production. I think I described it as just like the best pool party playlist I've ever heard. I'll go, this is a bit of a tease, but on our next list, I'll go into how I sort of got my foot in the door with this album. But yeah, man, it's good. I would definitely recommend anyone who needs a just shot in the arm to give it a listen. So Future Nostalgia, Dua Lipa is my number five. Mitch, what's your number five?
Well, at number five, I have an EP, Remote by Wallows. This EP was released back in October. This is a band that my brother and sister follow very heavily, and they kind of got me hooked on listening to more of their stuff. They were, my brother was like talking like, oh, they've been working on stuff all of quarantine, and they're going to release like an album and stuff. And sure enough, they released an EP and just some solid songs on there. Probably my favorites, Coastlines. But yeah, that's what I got at number five, something that I've been listening to on repeat and still continue to listen to today, I guess. I'm getting like, I feel like I'm saying repetitive stuff at this point.
Yeah.
These top five, like stuff I just have listened to at least like the last three, my top three are stuff that I've literally been listening to since the beginning of the year. Cause they all released at the beginning of the year, but the stuff that's released recently has definitely been on rotation for playlists a whole lot more recently. So Logan, what do you got at number four?
Number four, I've got an album that Mitch mentioned a little earlier, and that's Kid Cudi's Man on the Moon 3. I've listened to this album a fuck ton over the past couple weeks. I always have a problem with, and this sounds super hypocritical, with putting albums that released like in December like on my top tens list just because I didn't get a full year to listen to it. Like a full calendar year, but I really dug it, man. Like it had to be on the list somewhere. Besides the very first song, which was basically not even a real song. It was like an intro to the album. It was like probably 45 seconds or something like that. Besides that, man, I still listen to all these songs. Tequila Shots, of course, is one of the most notable ones, as well as Rockstar Nights with Trippy Red. The Phoebe Bridgers song is a bop too. Mr. Solo Dolo, the Pop Smoke song, the vibes with this album. I feel like it's also recycled just because we reviewed this like a week and a half ago. But so yeah, if you want my full review, go check out our thoughts on the album there. But yeah, I really fucking liked it. I'm not a huge Kid Cudi fan.
but, not a big cutter.
Not a big cutter. But I really enjoyed the album. So yeah, that's my number four. Matt, what you got it for?
My number four is an album I'm not even sure if I'm gonna like say it right. It's 3:15:20 by Childish Gambino. I didn't quite get to listen to it when it released, since the middle of March was a bit hectic this time of year, or that time was a bit hectic this year. But I sort of recently listened to it after, just after far too long, and it just goes, man. Childish Gambino has been definitely a favorite of mine. And with something with this album is I can definitely tell there's a lot of layers to it, just like sort of all his stuff has had since Because the Internet. So just sort of being able to dig through and like go on the Reddit and whatever and see what people are saying about what things mean and what connects to what, like his albums connect to his like connect like Atlanta and just like all of it's just like one big web. And so just kind of like piecing it in, and it's just good, man. It's a really good combination of him spitting bars like he did on Because the Internet, as well as just some of the more R&B style from Awaken My Love. Just a really good like fusion of those two styles. I think he does a really good job of fusing them. But yeah, that's my number four, an album that has an unpronounceable name as far as I'm concerned. Mitch, what's your number four?
I had no idea Childish Gambino released an album. I'm going to have to listen to that.
Yeah.
Where have I been? Shit.
It kind of went under the radar. Wasn't really widely marketed or talked about, but it was. Go back.
Yeah.
I will definitely be doing that.
Like I said, the news was covering some other things around March 15th.
To go into my next album, I have another EP. And this one's by a relatively pretty much unknown artist. Most of mine are probably not as well-known artists. Maybe, I don't know. I don't know who's listening, but this EP is called Blood Sugar by Kid Bloom. And the title track Blood Sugar just pulls you right in and bumps. At first I was kind of like, when I read this, because I've been following this guy for a while, he released a couple of like EPs and just singles over the course of the past like couple of years. I've been following him for about a little over a year, but came onto his music that he's been releasing since like 2016. Doesn't have a lot of followers. Let me check. Yeah, less than 1 million followers so on Spotify. So that's not really a lot. This guy made this EP in 2020, Blood Sugar. Highly recommend listening to the title track. Kind of goes along with, it's more of like a more adult version of Watermelon Sugar. But then again, when I think about Watermelon Sugar by Harry Styles, I think that's kind of like could be perceived in many different ways too, but very similar singing styles and vibes from him on this EP as well. But just another solid album that I've been listening to and just jamming to in the car for quite a while since, shit, I'm like rambling, since August. So that's what I got at number four. Logan, what do you got at number three?
Top three. I've got an album called A Rock, and it's by one named Hardy. Hardy is a smaller country artist. I guess you can categorize him as quote unquote bro country, the genre that kind of came out a few years ago back when Florida Georgia Line kind of really got popular. This is a guy that writes a lot of their music and they write a lot of his music. And he had a really good debut album. A lot of really good songs on here. Truck, Ain't a Bad Day.
A song just called Truck.
Just cut right to it.
One Beer, Broke Boy, Hate Your Hometown. They all have generic country song titles. Give Heaven Some Hell. They all have generic titles, but they all have really good messages. He's a really smaller known artist. He's from a small town in Mississippi in the South, and I don't know, he's just got a bunch of some good songs on this debut album. So hats off to my boy Hardy. I want him on this podcast. Come on, Hardy. Matt, what you got at three?
My number three might be considered a cheat since it's two albums, but when I say them, you'll probably get it. I'm putting Folklore and Evermore together. Logan's shaking his head.
You cheating ass motherfucker.
No, that's not cheating. They were basically written at the same time.
Sure, sure. I'll let it pass.
Two halves of the same hole.
Sure, but sure.
Whatever.
I'm not being sarcastic. I agree. Sure, sure. The way I said sure, sure was very condescending sounding. I did not mean that.
No, you're good. But yeah, probably not much like both of you guys have said about talking albums we recently reviewed. There's not really, if you want to hear my thoughts, you can go back a couple episodes. Some good, definitely, I feel like stronger songwriting on Folklore, but definitely some really strong songs as well on Evermore with, I'll say probably a few stronger features in my opinion. But just very good songwriting. I found myself kind of reading the lyrics like along to it, since I can't always like hear, and just sort of seeing the poetry of them is just kind of that was really pretentious to say, but it's true. I don't know. it's who I am. I'm a pretentious former Warped Tour kid who loves female pop music. Anyway, Mitch, what's starting out your top three?
Well, my top three starts off with Notes on a Conditional Forum by the 1975. This is about as pop as I can get, but this album really wasn't a pop album, in my opinion, as opposed to like maybe years in the past, like when they released I Like It When You Sleep, back in 2016. This album is a follow-up to their last album, A Brief Inquiry into Online Relationships, which was released in 2018. This album, Notes on a Conditional Forum, was supposed to be released last year. They were going to be doing like a dual album, kind of like what Taylor Swift did, releasing two albums in a year. That was their plan. But I guess like production kept pushing this album back. Overall, this album has, I think, the 1975's whole premise is like, or their original group was Music for Cars. And I feel like that's what this album really is like music for listening to while in the car, which is what I do a lot, is drive and listen to music. To kind of touch on some of these songs, the songs that I liked, I liked People, which is kind of more of a brash, punk kind of sounding song. I liked, Then Because She Goes, which kind of brings me back to like, it felt like a nostalgic song from the get go to me. I don't know why, but, it just kind of did. And, there's, songs like, Nothing Revealed, Everything Denied, which I thought is a fantastic like genre blending type of song. And for the most part, like this whole album has a lot of different vibes to it. There's a song like Roadkill that kind of sounds like country, but isn't really country. Like the lyrics of the song aren't really country lyrics, but the sound of the song sounds very country-like. And that's kind of like for the most part of the album as a whole. I just really liked the production on it. They took the extra time to work on it, and it turned out really well. I continue to listen to it. Got a shirt on supporting them, so just gonna leave it at that. Logan, what do you got at number two?
My runner-up for album of the year went to Savage Mode 2 by 21 Savage. 21 Savage's album that released a couple years ago, I think it was the end of 2018, I Am Greater Than I Was, Grammy Award-winning album, That was my favorite album of that year, and that was the album that came out in December. Similarly, I enjoyed pretty much every song on the album. I liked the nice touch they'd used with Morgan Freeman on the teaser trailer for the album, as well as his voice is sprinkled in here and there on a couple songs. Some songs that really kind of stole the show for me were Mr. Right Now with Drake, Runnin', Rich Bleep Shit, Snitches and Rats, R.I.P. Love, Said and Done, My Dog, Many Men. They all pretty much go hard for me. Love 21 Savage's flow. I know he comes off really cheesy and like he doesn't know what he's doing, but I like his style. I like his flow. I like he pretty much just raps about just gangster shit, even though I'm the whitest there is. So I dig it. I liked it. That's the runner-up of album of the year. I can't wait to say my number one album. You both might give me disapproving looks, but that's okay. That's okay. Matt, what you got at number two?
My number two is RTJ4 by Run the Jewels. Pretty much the perfect album to drop during the protest this summer. Just angry music by two men who were very angry. Just very, very good to listen to with that. I don't have quite as many individual songs from it. I know I've sort of been lacking on that area where you guys have been doing it, but this is one that I definitely have a hard time not listening to cover to cover. It just goes hard. The production's definitely not sort of like your standard rap production. Killer Mike is just very clever, a very clever lyricist. And there is some really good features on this. Like Pharrell, he hops on a track or two. Zach De La Roca, yes, from Rage Against the Machine. 2 Chainz is even on one, which is kind of unexpected, but he brings it. So, yeah, definitely an album I've probably listened to the second most this year, if we're going for it. But yeah, that is my runner up for album of the year. Mitch, what's taking the number two spot for you?
Well, my number two goes to another smaller known band out of Philly. The Districts released You Know I'm Not Going Anywhere, also known as Wykinga. I just really enjoyed this album. I was fortunate enough before COVID hit that me and my brother got to go and see them perform at the 930 Club. Literally like a week before everything shut down. So that was a fun night. And this is a stellar album by them. I thought really enjoyed pretty much every track off this album. Not going to go into specifics on this, but I just really enjoyed it. It's been in my rotation for listening to music for pretty much all year, because it released back in March. So literally like right before everything shut down, and right before I think we went to see them, or like a week later is when they released this album. So me and my brother got to see them perform some of the tracks from this new album before they released it, which was really cool. So The Districts, You Know I'm Not Going Anywhere. Logan, what do you got? Or do we want to do honorable mentions? I know we're running a little long here, probably because of my rambling ass. But,
no, it's fine. I'll give just two honorable mentions. I won't. I'll give a couple. I won't say anything about them. Some albums I wish I could have put on here were Childish Gambino's album. I also wish I could have put on Detroit 2 by Big Sean. Oh God, I accidentally clicked the song. Also, this album called Chris Tomlin and Friends by Chris Tomlin. Really enjoyed kind of a spiritual slash modern country listen through. I really enjoyed that one. Don Tolliver's album, I really enjoyed. I really am upset that I couldn't make that one make the cut, but that's okay. Future, Gabby Barrett had a really good debut album as a young country singer. She was the runner-up on American Idol last year, so she made a pretty good money or album. John Legend made a really, really good album this year. Listened to it at the very top of the year. Logic with whatchamacallit with No Pressure. Logic made a pretty good album this year. A lot of really good albums this year, but not enough to crack my number one slot, which goes to Southside by one Sam Hunt. I'm not a big Sam Hunt guy. I never have been. I always used to think his old like his debut album was just all for teenage girls for their breakups and whatever. But I really enjoyed the listening through on Southside. Pretty much every song on the album is a hit, either in my head or just was on the radio. Almost every song was a radio smash for Sam Hunt. So he had a really good year. Yeah, man, I don't have anything crazy to say. I really enjoyed it. I didn't think Sam Hunt would get that slot, but, I've been wrong before. Some of my favorites, I still have every song on the album. Breaking Up Was Easy in the 90s, explores a cool thing, how our parents didn't have social media. Our parents didn't have cell phones. So it's not like every time they broke up with someone, they had to go through seeing your ex with someone better than you. Body Like a Back Road, that was a really popular single a few years ago. Also, Sam Hunt, why did it take so long to drop the album, bro?
Yeah, the song's like 3 years old.
Ken Folks, Hard to Forget is a bop. Nothing Lasts Forever, Drinking Too Much, all of it. Hats off to you, Sam Hunt. I don't know how you did it, you bastard, but you got my number one slot. Matt, what you got for your number one?
So I was going off of this song getting the, or this album getting the Grammy nod, but I know it was released in 2019, but I promise I only listened to it within the calendar year of 2020. And that is Black Pumas, album. Just a good, when Mitch and I were doing Grammy talk before, we were gushing about them, and that just like inspired me to keep listening to them. And I just had it on repeat pretty much since then to this day. Yeah, man, Wikipedia is describing it here as psychedelic soul, and I have a hard time disagreeing. I just really dig it, man. I was a big fan of I'm a big fan of the Black Keys. And that's who they kind of remind me of, a little bit slower, a little bit less high energy. And that's kind of what I'm more about now. So, yeah, I forgot we were doing honorable mentions. But my only one, I think, is Fiona Apple's album, Fetch the Bolt Cutters, kind of released like right at the beginning of quarantine. And it really struck a note with me because as soon as I learned that she recorded it by herself in her own home, just kind of like how we all were. So she was just like one of us. You can hear like her dog barking on some songs. Like she does her best like dolphin impression, like on another. It's weird, man. I couldn't put it on my top 10, but I definitely wanted to talk about it because it's just a fun album. It's really interesting to listen to. Some of the songs are really sad, so I shouldn't call it a fun album, but you know what I'm saying. But yeah, so my number one is kind of apocryphally the Black Pumas. So sorry if I broke the rules, but Mitch, what's your honorable mentions and number one?
Well, I just had a couple of honorable mentions. Was gonna talk about Taylor Swift's Folklore and Evermore. I was unfortunately couldn't fit that into the top 10. I also have Orca by Gus Dapperton. I thought that album was really well done. There's some tracks on there that I really enjoy. I also have Punisher by Phoebe Bridgers. That album is also really good and up for some Grammy nominations as well. And the last honorable mention album is an album that I discovered recently just by a remix song. And that's this album called The Baby by Samia, I think is how you pronounce her.
Sure.
Name or band name. Yeah, another just solid, solid album. From that group as well. And to round out my last album of the year for me, I have at number one, The Slow Rush by Tame Impala. This album is just a doozy. I've been waiting for this album for so long, for about 4 or 5 years now, since Currents. Been following Tame Impala and Kevin Parker for about that amount of time. So, I enjoyed the first two albums that I discovered when I found Currents when it came out, and both of those albums are great, as well as Currents. And now I'm just talking about Currents. Shit, I need to shut up about Currents. How many times? Take a shot every time Mitch says Currents. The Slow Rush, just this, I thought it was a awesome break from the sound that Kevin made when he made Currents. Oh my God. And essentially what this album, I love Kevin's drumming on this album. He's a phenomenal drummer, and the lyrics kind of basically talking about time and how slow.
There goes Mitch.
Oh man,
he was having some trouble there. You could tell just by just by the sound of it. I don't know whether we're supposed to wait or just move on. I'm honestly thinking that we move on.
Sure.
We got the gist of it. He's really excited about his album.
Yeah.
Hey,
yeah.
Mitch, you're back.
My shitty internet.
I'm thinking that's okay. The StreamYard just couldn't handle all this Tame Impala talk.
All of Mitch's talk about Currents. How many times can say that out? Mention that album.
Well, good. There's our top 10 albums of the year. I thought this was going to be a short episode, but I was wrong. So,
do we want to do it? Bottom. Just you do your bottom five, Logan. I'll do my bottom five. Mitch does his bottom five. Then top fives for songs.
We can do bottom five. General talk, and then we can one by one talk about our top five.
Sure.
So my songs are very much so songs that all revolved around those albums that released. I'm sure you guys are the same. I'll start off. My number 10 was Turks by Nav and Travis Scott. That was the hit single from Nav's album. Girls in the Hood mentioned in the albums list by Meg Good the news. Stallion.
Yep.
That was my number 9. My number 8 is Mr. Right Now by 21 Savage and Drake, one of the hit songs off of Savage Mode 2. Number seven, I Love My Country by Florida Georgia Line, kind of from their little EP this year. That was the popular summer song that they had going on. Basically talks about everything great about America, which, I mean, in country music terms, just is the good-looking women and the good beer. So there's
don't
that.
Forget my truck.
My number six was One Beer by Hardy and Lauren Elena. Came off of the Rock album that I mentioned at my number two or my number three slot. And that's my 10 through six. Matt, what's your 10 through six?
My number 10 through six also, or my top 10 in general also kind of falls mostly in line with my albums with a few different ones. Like this one, number 10, I have Blinding Lights by The Weeknd. I just really like that single. I thought it was,
I fucking forgot about that album.
Just a good little bop. I'm a fan of The Weeknd overall. Number nine, album as much, but I just really like that song. I really, really dug that one. My number nine is Rain on Me by Lady Gaga and Ariana Grande. You get those two belters on the track together, and it's just good stuff. Number eight, Night off of Man on the Moon Part 3. That's the song that stuck around from there. Number seven, Watermelon Sugar by Harry Styles. Just kind of dug it. It was sort of my unofficial song of the summer. And my number six was Levitating by Dua Lipa. This was a really good episode of the podcast Song Exploder. If you're into music, I would definitely peek behind the curtain and how I first sort of introduced it to Dua Lipa specifically. So, yeah, man, that's my bottom five. What are yours, Mitch?
My 10 through 6 start out with Level of Concern by 21 Pilots. I thought that was a pretty interesting quarantine song. At number 9, Devil's Advocate, The Neighborhood. Just a song that I've listened to so many times that I just really enjoy. Just really enjoy listening to it. At number 8, I have Posthumous by Gus Dapperton. This song was really good. The lyrics on the song are pretty much what hooked me into liking the song, as well as just kind of pulling me into listening to more of his music. At number 7, I have Okay by Wallows. This wasn't on their EP. This was just released as a single, but another just really good track that was released during quarantine. Number 6, I have Genie by Jimmy Stack featuring Bon Iver. This song was really good, and I stumbled across it when my brother and his Bon Iver just kind of ways of just constantly listening to Bon Iver. I was just searching through stuff that he's been featured on, and that was something that he did this year, and solid song, and another album kind of that's was released in 2020 by Jimmy Stack. That's another pretty good album. That's what I got at 10 through 6. Logan, what do you got at your top 5?
All right. Top 5, I've got at number 5, Countryside by Florida Georgia Line. They got two songs in my top 10 this year. This is from their little EP. It's kind of it tells the story of a couple that moves to the countryside, getting out of the city, kind of taking it easy. As I'm speaking, I'm boring myself, but it basically talks about country. It has a very unique beat to it for a quote unquote country song. But yeah, I really dug it. Are we going one by one in the top 5, or are we just going to repeat what we just did?
Maybe repeat what we did up until two, and then we can each go around and talk about our number ones.
Okay. Then I'll go. Number four is Running Over by Justin Bieber, featuring Lil Dicky. Really love that song. Really love how Lil Dicky just goes off. Hey, Dicky, drop the album, bro. What you doing?
Wasn't he doing that TV show?
Yeah, it's really good, and now it's over, so fucking where's the album, bro?
Gotta do season two.
Number three, You Played by Moneybagg Yo and Lil Baby. Not a big Moneybagg Yo guy. Also, these rap names, dude. Moneybagg Yo.
He's gotta get that money bag, yo.
Yo. And then number two, Hard to Forget by Sam Hunt is the breakout song of that last album that made my number one slot. It's a really good song. There's a really good acoustic version of it too. I'm a big acoustic guy. So yeah, it's just all in all a fun song, a really fun vibe. And it kind of makes it kind of brings it all together for me. So Matt, what is your 5 through 2?
My number five is sort of in your neck of the woods, Logan. It is Starting Over by Chris Stapleton. I dug some parts of his album that he dropped this year, but that single is definitely my favorite. If only for that voice, man. It's just so good. Just so. Like, when you think country, you think Chris Stapleton's voice. Like, he just crushes it. Number four is the Higher Love, with the Whitney Houston song, the remix by Kygo. It's able to sort of get me through the summer. It was just like a good shot in the arm anytime I needed it. Number three is just all uppercase, and the S is a dollar sign, by Run the Jewels. This is the song I was talking about when talking about the album, featuring Zach De La Rocha from Rage Against the Machine and Pharrell. So just kind of a weird combo, but I just really like the way Zach De La Rocha basically pretends like it's 1993 and he's still up on stage with Rage Against the Machine. And then number two, I'm surprised I'm the first one that has to bring this song up. It's WAP.
Really? That's your number two?
I mean, can you think of a? I cannot think of a song that I will remember more from this year than WAP.
I don't hate your logic. That's an honorable mention of mine. I wanted that to make the cut. Damn.
Yeah. No.
You guys were gonna look at me like I was a fucking asshole for putting that one on there.
No, you're good. Like, I just couldn't. Like, every time I tried to, like, come back to this list and do it, I just could not put it any lower than number two. So that's where I'm at for my 2 through 5. What are you doing, Mitch?
Well, at number five, I have Blood Sugar by Kid Bloom, a song that I listened to on repeat, just like I already talked about. At number four, I have If You're Too Shy, which... it was by the 1975 off their new album. That song I thought was kind of funny, like the story that kind of the song it like is about. But there's just I really enjoy the music behind it, the saxophone, the drum track in it, which pretty much that's my music taste is just drum tracks because I play the drums. And number three, I have this song called All About You by The Knox featuring Foster the People, a song that was released pretty recently, within the past like month or two, maybe back in like November or October. But another just solid kind of like a dance track that kind of was a pretty good release for the end of the year. And I really like the Knox. They're mostly dance production DJs, and obviously Foster the People, Mark Foster, his vocals on that track are really good. And at number two, I have Hey Joe by The Districts. Love this track by them, and been pretty much listening to it all year long. So thought I'd put it at number two because my number one is a heater, folks. And it was tough to beat this song for me.
My number one, my favorite song of the year is called No Sucker by Lil Baby and Moneybagg Yo. Moneybagg Yo and Lil Baby made it on my number three slot as well. I think Lil Baby's album My Turn came out first, and then Moneybagg Yo released his album a couple months later or a couple weeks later, and they featured each other on each other's albums or whatever. And both of the songs have a very similar vibe. They have a similar feel. They're not talking about anything crazy. But the beat on No Sucker is absolutely bombastic. And Moneybagg Yo has a really good verse in it. I know it by heart, forwards and backwards. I probably shouldn't say half the things that I say in it, but that's neither here nor there. It's just a fantastic song. It's a bop. It's in my party playlist. It's in my favorites playlist. I absolutely love it. It was hard not to put those two songs back to back, but Sam Hunt again with the album of the year, and same thing with my number two slot. He shoehorned his way back in. I went back last week and re-listened to some of those earlier of the year albums just to kind of re-familiarize myself with it. And I was like, man, this Sam Hunt song goes, and his album goes. So, but that's no more about Sam Hunt. No Sucker by Lil Baby and Moneybagg Yo got my favorite song of the year. Matt, what's your favorite?
Well, same caveat that I gave for my number one album of the year. This was technically released in 2019, but I again promised did not listen to it until 12:01 a.m. January 1st, 2020, not before. Colors by the Black Pumas, their lead single off their number one album. So yeah, man, it just goes. Same, nothing I haven't already said about it. Just a huge fan, just constantly in the rotation. Just a fucking jam. Mitch, what's your number one?
Well, my number one is Breathe Deeper by Tame Impala. And this track, I've listened to this track over a hundred times easily. But this track, mostly due to the fact that the reason why I've listened to it so many times is because I like playing the drums to this track. I literally practice playing the drums to this track as much as possible during a weekly basis. Whenever I jump on my drum set, I'll try to master this drum track. Still have yet to do it. I've got most of the fills down, but, you know, I'm still working on it. Work in progress. But I just love this track because it's so 70s and early 80s vibe of like a dance track almost, but it's also like it feels like it sounds like a rock track at its core. So I just really love the track, and yeah, that's all I got.
Wow. And then that's all we've got for our music summary episode of the Binge Boys. Hope y'all enjoyed our takes. If you disagree, which you probably do, especially with mine, come at me. I'm on Twitter. I'm happy to debate music with you. My arguments are probably going to be like, well, you suck and shit like that. But hey, we love fun and easy banter. yeah. Follow us on Instagram. Same old, same old. Rate and review, please. And it's New Year's Day, so Happy New Year, everybody. Hope your 2021 isn't filled with bullshit like 2020 was. So, yeah, I guess that's it, guys.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, guys.
Bye.
Bye.